Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
And KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Case Keenum, Houston legend, back with us here in the city of Houston and with us this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Case, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourselves?
Man, we're doing great. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. How's it be back? How is it to be back in Houston?
Man, John, Lance, it's so cool, man. It really is surreal. You know, it's kind of still setting in. We've been coming back for most off seasons as we've traveled the world, it seems like, and played for everybody on every coast and every type of climate you can think of. But getting back here, getting to go back to work over there, NRG, going down to Kirby, dealing with Houston traffic, man, every day it becomes more and more real, and it's been really special. It really has.
Yeah, the Houston traffic, it is. J.J. Watt mentioned it the other day, too, about how great Houston was, but then he had to drop in Houston traffic. And I think you may have said something about humidity, too. But so, Case, it's, you know, your career, you're, what, 35 years old now. Your career, mm-hmm. I think. Am I correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So your career, you have had a lot of ups. You've had, I don't want to say as many downs, but your career has taken different pathways. Are you just comfortable? Like, what is your? How do you see your role right now? How did the Texans see your role on this team with two young quarterbacks? Not just one, but there's two young quarterbacks here.
There really are. You know, and you're right about the ups and downs. You know, what's great is, it kind of that reminded me of a story that my first time here. I'm sitting in the QB room with the Texans, the same quarterback meeting room that we have right now. And you know, we were like 2-10 or something at that point. It was 2000. I think that would have been 14, maybe 13 when I got my first time to start for the Texans, and we lost those 14 games in a row there to end the season. And you know, I was just grinding away. I was just doing everything I possibly could and working, burning the candle on both ends. And, you know, I was really down about myself. And I got a text from a friend, a pitcher, John Lackey, who's from Abilene. And he said, it's those down times, it's those crappy times that make the good times feel so good. And, you know, I've taken lessons from the good and the bad, you know, all through my career. And it's been all over. You know, there's been some very high highs and some low lows, but you learn from it, you grow from it, and yeah, I'm hoping that you know, I've already been able to, you know, help those guys out, and I'm hoping to continue to do that as you know, the season goes on.
Well, the high had to be with Minnesota. No, well, you guys, you were 11-3 as the starter. What a ride that was, huh?
Pretty high one.
Talk about that ride and being. I mean, You looked like an NFL starter, and you got another shot with Denver. I'm surprised you didn't get, you know, to stay in Minnesota after what you did there, but you went on to Denver, and you got your shot to start there as well. But, that must have been a hell of a ride you were on that year.
Yeah, it was special, man. You know, we got we signed there after my year with L.A., and really was kind of competing. You know, didn't know the situation. Teddy Bridgewater's come back from injury. Sam Bradford had been traded for, so he had had a good year with Minnesota the year before. So I was kind of competing for a roster spot, a third spot, really, in case, you know, Teddy wasn't ready to go, and he wasn't at the beginning of the year. So I was back up the first game. Sam Bradford goes off and actually torches New Orleans first game of the season on Monday Night Football and hurts his knee. So I start about 16 or 17 games after that and went on to the NFC Championship, obviously Minnesota Miracle, Stephon Diggs, all that good stuff. It was pretty crazy, Ryan, and you just don't know. This league is really crazy. It's about the right combination of people at the right time. Running the football and playing really good defense helps, it's just a matter of the right time, right people, and, you know, unfortunately, I haven't found much of that since. You know, a little bit in Buffalo, it helps when you have Josh Allen doing what he was doing last year, it's a wild game. It's a crazy league, and you just never know what's going
to
happen.
You know, it's really interesting to me from an X's and O's standpoint is, so Bobby Slowick comes in, and he's the offense coordinator, and he comes over from Kyle Shanahan. Kyle, of course, learned under his own dad, Mike Shanahan, and Gary Kubiak. I thought what was interesting that season that you became quarterback in that tough season is Gary Kubiak made a change in the outside zone offense. He ended up putting pistol in for you, which for the outside zone, it's changed the mesh point a little bit, but he also had some RPO stuff in there that people don't really talk about very often that was very successful. Teams really didn't know how to defend it. I say very successful. He didn't run it a lot, but when he ran it, you guys had some success there. It's kind of wild to see. That was one of a guy like Gary Kubiak, who was kind of set in how the offense is supposed to be run, make those changes. And now when you see that offense case and you come here for a second time you come here with Bobby Slowick in this West Coast offense, it's a lot different the way they run the West Coast than when you were here with Gary.
You know, it is. There's definitely some remnants and, a lot of familiarity with it, some of the names and terminology. I really think a lot of some of the drop-back game, it fine-tuned a lot of mechanics and footwork and reads and how you see different plays in certain coverages. I think that's what's kind of great about this offense and Bobby being who he is and really smart, great game planner. And watching film, you know, some of the stuff we're putting in now, it's like we got to put stuff in now just to learn where we're going to go later. Whether it's, you know, down the RPO or the PROs, which I like to call it, and then you get going with all the run action, play action, keepers, quick game down the field. I mean, it can grow into, you know, just about whatever, you know, he wants it to based on the personnel we have.
Case Keenum with us this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Are you a mentor? Because Ryan Tannehill was asked this question. Are you a mentor for CJ?
I met him a week ago. I'd like to think maybe we could become friends first and then figure that out. I don't know if roles, like, this is kind of the time of year where your roles are getting defined. Everybody's figuring out, you're learning the offense, you're learning names of people at the same time as you're learning names of plays. So all those things, I think, for me, the way I view it, one, I'm getting ready to play. I mean, that's hands down, that's why I'm here. I'm going to be ready to play. I'm ready to do the best I can, when and if given the shot to move the ball down the field, you know, put points on the board, score points, and win games. Two, I want to help the Texans in whatever way that is to win games. That is to do everything within my power, all my knowledge, gifting, everything I have, it's going towards that. So, there's a lot of things, a lot of ways. It looks a lot of different. It looks very different in different situations. But I'm ready to be whatever I need to be.
Case Keenum here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got a camp coming up here in early June. Why don't you talk about that and how kids can get involved?
Yeah, I'm excited about this, man. We've been trying to do this for a long time, and coming back to the Texans' perfect world with some stuff with U of H, it just seems like it's falling into place. But we're going to do a quarterback camp, the very first inaugural Case Keenum quarterback camp at U of H. Be June 3rd. If you're entering the 7th through the 12th grade, and you play quarterback, you want to come out and work, I think we're going to have a great time. You can go to CaseKeenumQBCamp.com and learn more. But appreciate you guys. Let me pump that up. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. This could be the start of something really fun. Maybe get it going every year, turn into Academy 707s. Who knows? And I'm excited about it.
Yes, we see you at University of Houston as well, the basketball games. You're still very active with University of Houston Cougars as well. May make it easier for you to maybe get out on a Saturday if you got a home game and you don't have anything to do. Maybe you can get out and still go watch Cougs this time live and in person out at the stadium.
Yeah, man, going to the Big 12. We got a couple of big-time teams coming down 290 here to come see us play. And I think I'll definitely make it a point to get out there as much as I can. I'm excited, man. It's a good time to be a Cougar. I mean, you got the basketball team doing what they're doing. They are so much fun to watch. That Fertitta Center is so fun to go watch games at, too. Coach Sampson doing a great job. I actually played for Coach Hogerson on the football side. Mm-hmm. He was our coordinator back when I was there. And I am really excited about where he's got the team going right now. You know, I know it's a crazy time right now in college athletics with the NIL and the transfer portal, but I think they're chomping at the bit to get to that Big 12 schedule and see how it goes.
Have you talked to Dana since you came back?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talk all the time.
And what's your best Dana story from when he was a coordinator?
What's my best Dana story? I have one. So this was like our first or second game he was a coordinator. I had to go through the Rolodex there and get to go through a lot of them and see what was worthy or radio worthy. So this was our second game. We're playing Air Force actually we're doing it in Dallas because the hurricane had come and we had to move the game. And we weren't doing very well. Air Force, they have a tendency to frustrate you, you know, when they're running the ball for 3 or 4 yards every time and you hardly touch the ball. You go three and out and they go back out there. And Dana was so mad. I still don't know how he has hair. He was pulling out hair in 2009 or whenever that was. That he was like, Case, I don't know. I mean, it's not the plays. You call the plays. So the next couple of drives, I just called plays and I would just randomly think of a play. It was my first year in the offense. I barely remembered any plays and I made up stuff. I called screens, I called different draws and all sorts of stuff. And we actually went down and scored. And I come off the field and he's like, see, I told you. I was like, well, I just called plays that weren't on the game plan. So I don't know what else to do here.
Screens and draws.
And you scored. Hey, see, you should have gone, hey, Dana, you see? That's how you do it.
Sometimes football's simple.
Hey, you're from Wiley, Texas. Are you watching Love and Death?
You know, somebody told me about this show. So I'm from Abilene. There's Abilene Wiley is the school in Abilene. And then there's a Wiley, Texas. Wiley High School. So I don't know if this show is it about Wiley, Texas or Abilene?
It's about Wiley, Texas.
Yeah, Wiley, okay. Texas. Okay. It's about a murder that happened there in the 70s that was – it's wild. It's we were wondering if you had – like, obviously that's one of those folklore things where if you were from Wiley, you would have you'd definitely know about the story.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I do know there was another show, Vengeance. A girl named Abilene. I don't know. It's a writer from New York, goes out to West Texas, and is, you know, was confused to be this girl's boyfriend or something. I don't know, but that's another one. I think I'm getting them confused.
No, West Texas is confusing.
Yeah,
West. It all kind of runs into each other. I drove 10 hours one time and finally got to Marfa. I'm like, what the hell?
Yep.
How is this so far away?
Oh no!
And I'm not even out
now,
of state.
Now Marfa's like a cool spot to go to.
Oh yeah, like, no, Marfa's the it's kind of weird because I was there 2 summers ago, and it's kind of weird because Marfa's got some hip places, and then it also feels like a small Texas town in some ways. Like it's a combination of the two.
And they're like designer stores there.
Oh yeah. Oh no. There's designer stores. There's NFT galleries. And then there's just like some guy moved from Boston to open up a pizza parlor in Marfa, and his pizza is great. And I sat in the car with him talking, or maybe he moved from New York to Marfa, Texas. Yeah, it's a crazy thing. But then you drive around the town, and it's still got a small Texas town feel.
That's cool.
It's not big.
Did you go see the Marfa Lights?
Yeah, Marfa Lights are great.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Marfa Lights, and we went to the observatory, drove near the... We went with me and the kids went a few years back, and me and the wife went with some friends two summers ago.
We used to live out there in... Because my dad coached at Sol Ross, and so we lived in Alpine for a couple years. So going to the Marfa Lights, that was like a big thing to do.
Yeah, there's not a lot. There's not a lot going on out there. You can drive on a stretch of road where you realize your cell phone doesn't work. Okay, there's no cell connection for about a solid hour, and you realize, and you're in a desert basically, and you realize, oh boy, I better not break down here.
Case Keenum this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, we appreciate it. HRP set this whole thing up for us with Case, and we can't love them more than we do already. So that is great stuff, Case. You're going to be hearing Case talking about HRP, as a matter of fact. But his camp is coming up. What's the website again, Case?
Yeah, it's CaseKeenumQBCamp.com. It's coming up June 3rd, so you guys better get over there if you guys want to come to camp, because I think we'll have a good time, and it could be the start of something special. So, and coming back to Houston, man, chat with you guys. It's good to catch back up, and hope to get to do it again real soon.
Yeah, no, we want that. We want that to happen. That is great stuff. Great to have you back, man. He's a legend. You're a legend here, and we really, really, really appreciate you joining us. CaseKeenumQBCamp.com. CaseKeenumQBCamp.com. You got a young quarterback. This is a place to go to get him ready. CaseKeenumQBCamp.com. Hey, man, we really appreciate it. And yeah, let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Case Keenum right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, let's make that a regular thing. What do you think? Let's make that a regular thing. Let's go, Chris. Chris Fisher, let's get it done. Let's go. Time to talk right now about our people over at Houston Powder Coaters. They're awesome. We love the Houston Powder Coaters here because the Houston Powder Coaters are, if you've ever seen this facility, if you haven't seen the facility, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what they do, how big it is, how efficient it is, how they care so much about the work that they're doing. They're going to make sure that it's perfect, perfect, perfect. They can repair any kind of metal objects that you have, be it your outdoor furniture or car parts or whatever it is that you have that's metal. It's unbelievable. If it's rusted out, if it's broken down, whatever the case may be, they can repair. They can make it look brand new again. You can choose the colors you want it to be. You want to repair it but still make it look old. They can do that as well. If it's unique, you just love it, you want to keep it, Houston Powder Coaters is the place to go. Free pickup and delivery. If you're a business, they can come there and repair on-site. Biggest by volume and the best 20 years of business experience, five-star customer service. Whatever it is that you need done, Houston Powder Coaters are here for you. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big assist to HRP. We appreciate you for getting that job done. And hopefully, man, it would be nice to have him, Case, as often as possible, even on a regular basis this season. That'd be awesome. Biggest question marks for every NFL team, quarterback question marks. The Texans is about C.J. Stroud. Is it a foregone? You heard Case just there, right there. Is it a foregone conclusion that C.J. Stroud starts? Okay, he's the number two overall quarterback. Bryce Young.
It should be a foregone conclusion. He's not. Trey Lance had 1 year. Now, he only had, he had 3 years of experience, but he has more experience than Trey Lance had coming in. There is no Jimmy Garoppolo ahead of him. Not a foregone conclusion, but I'd say 75 to 80% chance that C.J. Stroud is the quarterback.
But even Patrick Mahomes sat, okay? Aaron Rodgers sat.
But Patrick Mahomes was – people forget. Patrick Mahomes was – he's kind of a wild child a little bit, was throwing it all over the place. He was the 10th pick of the draft. They traded up to make him the 10th pick. C.J. Stroud's the second pick of the draft who is coming in with – now, I think sitting would be great for C.J. Stroud. I think sitting is good for most players. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either, but it might be the best thing. Now, this fan base is, you know, excited about the offseason with the Miko, excited about the two top picks, we think, excited to, you know, that this organization is turning things around. But the best thing long-term for C.J. Stroud might be watching Case Keenum early on here.
Early on. I mean, you get mental reps. So here's the thing I think that backs up what you're saying. If he starts early and has – because, see, Deshaun Watson wasn't where he needed to be as a passer, but Deshaun was a consistently productive player in college and had two incredible games against Alabama. One included a national championship. But the thing about Deshaun is that Deshaun had the legs to where he could make plays for himself. That's not really C.J. Stroud. He's going to have to do it with his arm, with reading defenses. He can run a little bit, but he doesn't prefer to. He does not prefer to run. And I don't think you're going to see him do that a whole lot. So if you start him early, and let's say he really struggles with the first five games, it makes it harder to go to – because it looks like you're demoting him if you go to a Case Keenum, for example. But if you start him on the bench – and let him get some mental reps for the first 4 or 5 weeks. Then he's seen some things. He's watched tape with Slowick and with Case and Davis Mills. He's gone through practices. He's got to practice. Like, there's some advantages, I think, to protecting him in the first 4 or 5 games.
Well, not question.
Vince Young. Remember how I think Vince – didn't Vince start that way or no? Well, he was Rookie of the Year, so maybe not.
I forget if he started game one. He might have started game one. But here's the deal, too. Does Case Keenum, who is locally as well known a quarterback as, you know, I mean, a University of Houston guy, all the stuff that Case Keenum is in this city, does that make it easier as opposed to, like, if it was a Jacoby Brissett or if it was some other journey, even an Andy Dalton?
No, because generally, general Texans fans, they're just like, this Case is a backup.
But at least Case is known and Case is...
He's known, but if you're talking about a 25-year-old Texan fan, when's the last time Case was with the Texans? It was a decade ago.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he came back with 14. Bill O'Brien, yeah. It's been a long time, and he really didn't do... His best stuff has been with, like, the Vikings. It wasn't with the Texans. And you can't go all the way back into, like, you know, University of Houston stuff, so... No, I don't think. I think people want to see the number two pick.
Oh, no, I think absolutely they want to see the number two pick, but I think the Case might ease that a little bit because he is Case Keenum.
If he plays,
as opposed to being it.
I think anytime a young quarterback can sit and watch a little bit, it's not a bad
thing. It's not a bad thing.
It's really not. It's not a bad thing. Fans don't like it, but if that's your plan, that's your plan. David Carr would have benefited from doing it. That was the plan initially, and then the plan changed, and I think he had a historically bad pass protection. He took so many sacks, but he kind of ruined his confidence.
Yeah.
And I thought his passing motion changed after injuring his shoulder, and a lot of negative stuff came up. So, yeah, I think C.J. Stroud being able to sit would be in a vacuum would be good. I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think one of the reasons is because you have a very friendly, a quarterback-friendly offense, which should play into, you know, it's what C.J. Stroud does. So if it was an offense that was complicated like Bill O'Brien's that, you know, had a lot of different reads to it, that's one thing. But that's not what this should be. This should be one where he's thrown into space and he's kind of got easier reads. And then I think having a guy like Case Keenum there who can, if C.J. Stroud will allow him to help and if C.J. will, you know, humble himself to realize, hey, I got a vet I can take really great. He could really help me become a better quarterback. Then I think CJ could move along fairly quickly in this offense, because Case is going to help him get to the right reads as a quarterback, because they're going to see the game through the same, you know, through different eyes, the same setup through different eyes, and Case can maybe help him see with veteran eyes. So hopefully CJ's a guy who will, you know, there's at Ohio State, he didn't really care for the offense coordinator. I'll say it now. He didn't deal with the offense coordinator. He only dealt with the head coach. He just didn't think the offense coordinator knew ball. He didn't think he knew enough ball. That's not a great attitude to have if you're a quarterback.
No.
That's one of the things that was a problem for some people with C.J. Stroud when they talked about the issue, you know, some stuff that the staff may have said at Ohio State. That's what it is. And so I'm just telling you what it is. And so you can't do that with Slowik, because your head coach is not the offensive guy. Like, Ryan Day was the offensive guy, right? All right, Ryan Day knew offense. Ryan Day is the offensive guy over there as head coach. D'Amico's a defensive guy.
Yeah, right.
So you have Slowik and your quarterback coach, which is Gerard Johnson, and then you have Case Keenum. And I think Case is a great resource for
you. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, here's the other thing about this. The toughest part of the schedule is the first 4 weeks. You got at the Ravens, the Colts here, the Jags, and then the Steelers.
That's right. And the middle part is where it softens up with the NFC South. That's
so
right.
So maybe it might be the best thing for him to watch, even if it's that first month of the season, and then throw him out
Let
there.
Case go out Let there Case against the Wolves.
Yeah, right.
I always think that's a good idea.
You know,
What do you have to lose? You're fine. You're not going to be a playoff team this year. You're trying
says you.
To. It says me. But you're trying. I do think you could maybe be a 7-win team. I think it's possible.
And what if Case gets them off? If they do, and Case gets them off to a great start,
you have to stay with them.
You got to stay with them.
You have to stay with them. Your long term answer is C.J. Stroud. So he's not under any threat.
No. Time to talk about Doc Linville. What's the threat to you? Is going bald. Okay. Here's the answer for it. And Doc, matter of fact, I was listening to us on the way in here, and there was a Doc spot, and he's like, you know, sometimes the answer is PRP. It's not getting the neo grafting. It's not doing all of that, which is, it's surgery. It's not really surgery. It's, you know, it's neo grafting. It's actually just moving the hair to the top, which is so much easier than the way that the procedures that they used to have, but cutting you and cutting the nerves and cutting out the hairs and then transplanting them in. It's just not that process anymore. It's just so much easier, so much better. But PRP may be the way that you go. They take out your blood, they put it back in, they stimulate it, and they put it back in there, and it stimulates the hair growth on the top of your head. And that might be what is best for you. That PRP injection. So no matter what it is, the doc will tell you. He's a doctor. He knows. Listen to him. He might say, no, let's try the PRP first. It's a much easier process, and let's go, and let's see what that does for you. And then come back if it's not right, and come back. And, oh, by the way, now is the time, because you will see some results in a couple of months. Now's the time when you're getting out in the pool and outside and everything else with your hat off and everything. This is the time to get it done. So go to 975hair.com now, 975hair.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm looking on Instagram. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis, all along with somebody else. I don't know who that is.
I think that's Travis Scott.
Is that Travis Scott?
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know where they are. Some kind of rookie.
It was a rookie. Yeah. They were all with Tom Brady. Here's Tom Brady. Such a special day being able to speak with and learn from four young professional quarterbacks.
Learn from. I like that you said that. What are they teaching you?
They taught
Tom
Brady.
One of the things you need to do on that smash route concept, one of the things that we do at Ohio State.
Here's what
Bill
we
O'Brien
do, Tom.
Told me.
Here's what we do, Tom.
Here's what we do at Alabama with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did you learn from Bill O'Brien? Can I talk back to him like you did, Tom?
What did you learn from Bill O'Brien in one sentence?
that he's loud.
Okay, why does it keep saying this page doesn't exist for Tom Brady's Instagram?
I don't know. I don't know why it does. It did exist for me. I accidentally liked it. I'm never on
did
Instagram.
Did Tom Brady block me did he on block Instagram?
Him? He might have. I mean,
why would he block me?
I could certainly see that. Because of what you said about him when he was coming out.
What did I say? I barely knew him. I just watched.
The most.
Hold on, dude. Can I not get to Tom Brady's Insta?
See?
Wait, I know. I don't have. No, I'm not signed up on Insta on here. So why is this? Is it at Tom Brady, right? Instagram? Why does it keep saying this page does not exist?
See?
This isn't available.
Well, not available to you. It was to me because me and Tom are buddies. Apparently, you said something about
you know
him, his body when he was at the combine.
You know what? Maybe the NFL is blocking his account on my computer, on my NFL computer.
Why?
Because he decided to leave us.
What?
Yeah.
No, he retired. It's called retirement. Okay. What the bleep is wrong with you people, you NFL? Okay. The NFL Russia. Okay. Making sure that anyone who retires from your league, even Tom Brady, you're not welcome here anymore. Sorry. That is awful. You people are awful.
We just took them.
You people are awful.
So I missed out on an opportunity to go to a really awesome quarterback camp retreat. This is like I've had invites 5 years in a row. In 5 years, I'm going to be unable to do it. And it's going to be, they're going to have, only Drake May is the only quarterback not going to be there. But you have college quarterbacks who go out to Steve Clarkson's out in California. And they teach the young. Well, they work with, they're like camp counselors, right? C.J. Stroud was a couple of years ago. Didn't grow old. And then you go out there. And so a lot of the high school players are out there. And then college players, like some of the counselors will be, Caleb Williams is going to be out there. Quinn Ewers is going to be out there. Steve Clarkson gets these guys out there, and they all go. And any general manager who has a kid, like they send their kid to this camp as football, as a head coach, so they can go out there.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you're going to go. And then they watch and they meet all these players. And it's a great way. I found out some really interesting things about some of these quarterbacks from that camp, by the way, personality-wise and otherwise. But those are the two big camps, are the Manning camp and then Steve Clarkson's camp. But those top college guys go there. I think they can be paid for that. And then, sometime I think some NFL quarterbacks will go out there too. So always interesting to get those guys in the same space at the same time as camp counselors. Some of the guys take it seriously and really try to work with young guys. Some guys do not. And, which is unfortunate. But that kind of stuff gets back to teams too. So you want to be, I'd say, you want to be you, but also you don't want to be, like, on your worst behavior.
Yeah.
You'd rather be on your best behavior. And you never want to have a opportunity for a situation to go badly for you.
Well, I do sometimes. I mean, that's the way I live my life, though. But I'm different.
Yeah, you know, you are.
I'm different in that way. We haven't touched on this. The Victor Wembanyama video, that's real.
It's real. It turns out it's real.
It's real.
Yeah, that's Travis Scott.
I don't know. He's a big toe guy for me. But Victor Wembanyama really didn't want to come to the Houston Rockets. Mm-mm. It's real.
And we had heard some stuff before the draft about Wembanyama, and I just thought that was kind of whatever. I think most Rockets fans thought, yeah, whatever.
No.
But it looks like Victor, like, for real didn't want
to
go there.
No, he actually said, yeah, I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go there. The video of him after when the Rockets card was called, you can obviously fix and fix videos or whatever.
But there were some people, it's fake, it's edited. It's not then I saw two different.
No.
No, it's real.
It's real.
It's real. And it does beg the question. I mean,
he said publicly, I'm going to San Antonio.
Yeah.
I'm going
to he was trying to manifest it, or now people are just saying he already knew because it was rigged.
Yeah. No. Well, it probably was. I mean, and I've seen other places that, and people said, the league doesn't want him to go to Houston. For what? Why would this be a bad thing for Victor Wembanyama to be in a better place than, Houston is a better place than San Antonio?
All right, I'll just say this. I'm only going to devil's advocate here. I'm going to give you your answer based on everything we've heard. We've heard that the locker room is like,
yeah, but it's different now with Ime there.
It's the same players.
Yeah, but it's different now with Ime there, right?
I think so.
I think so too.
And Jonathan Fagan had a really great Q&A with Ime that we probably need to get some of those comments that he had, because it's pretty telling what Ime Udoka basketball is going to be. I think it's different, but maybe the organization just doesn't have, maybe there's a little bit of a stain on it. I don't know. Like, how would Victor Wembanyama, unless he just goes through his agent, unless, now there's a possibility. His agent is also the agent for Rudy Gobert. And so Rudy Gobert's agent, you know, who's Victor's agent, may have told him, the Rockets are a disaster. They do everything that their star players want. They don't have control of the team. I don't know. Maybe his agent, who's, like I said, is Gobert's agent, who used to be with the Jazz, maybe he's had negative experiences with Rockets management in the past, whether it's Rafael Stone or Daryl Morey or ownership, or I don't know.
Whatever.
Maybe that's that. I don't know why he would. Maybe Victor Wembanyama thought it wasn't a great fit for him to have a couple ball dominant guards and another big, you know, who would take up space in the low block, although he's not a low block player. I don't know. Maybe he keeps up with basketball and didn't like the roster composition. Maybe it's nothing maybe it's just something that simple, and it's nothing, you know, it's nothing nefarious where he thinks the Rockets will hit him with hammers in the head, you know, or give him a soap party when he's sleeping.
I don't think that's it, but it sure would. I don't get that.
It was kind of disheartening for me to see that. Yeah. Like, oh, wow.
That sucks.
We were praying for this guy.
Yeah, we.
Why did I waste my prayers for him?
I know. I actually talked to God about him.
Yeah.
And
guess what? Guess who talked harder to God? Victor. Please don't let me go there.
Do you think God listens to Victor more than he listens to us?
Do you think he prayed for the Spurs or for not being with the Rockets?
I don't know, but it's...
it was disappointing to see.
It's disappointing that God listened to Victor and not us.
No idea God was so enthralled with the Riverwalk.
I would have to believe this has something to do with, you know, Boris Diaw was a Spur, Tony Parker. I'm pretty sure they've talked to him about, the Spurs are a first-class organization. If you went there, it'd be great. You'd love Pop. We'll show you around, you know, the whole nine. So I'd have to believe that probably gave him a little bit of excitement about, San Antonio, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt that's why he loves it, is the international stuff and Tony Parker. There's no question. Why was he – I think our question is, was that just a yes?
Because it's
– No Rockets, because it's one step closer to San Antonio.
Or
– But I didn't see his – if he did that
I thought he
again.
Said – I didn't – I thought he, like, shook his head, I didn't want to go there.
Yeah, that's how I took it. Yeah. But I did also think for a second, maybe once he saw them go – one pass. Oh, hang on. So it was the Rocket, but Charlotte was the four, right? Yeah, because Spurs were the top three. Yeah, so they had the 14%. So that should have scared, unless he really liked Charlotte too, and he said, Rockets are there, Charlotte's in the top three. Now, this is really just a case of he didn't like the Rockets for whatever reason. Yeah,
right. I'm just disappointed that in God, really, that mm-hmm. he listened to Victor and not us. That's all. It's not the first time God disappointed me, but
it's not the first time you disappointed him.
Well, then we're even.
No, I don't think you're even, sir. Time. I do not think you're even. I hope
JT's not listening right now.
Your boat
He'll
racing.
Be very disappointed
will
in
he?
Me.
So will Marty.
Time for you to talk about something that's not disappointing.
Well, I can tell you this, Mr. Granato definitely is disappointing God a lot based on the things he says and how much alcohol that he drinks all the time.
Speaking of alcohol drinking.
Maestro Nobel. So I told you one time I was making myself, I poured myself a Maestro Nobel. My daughter can't stand. She's like, why are you having a drink in the afternoon? I'm like, Daddy's done with the draft. Okay. If Daddy wants to have a sipping tequila, Daddy's going to go grab the Maestro Nobel bottle. That's what's going to happen. And so, you know, Just be happy with that. And I'm happy with it. I get a great – I've got two different – right now I've got two different. I got the Cristalino and the Añejo. But I really want to get the Reposada. I've only had the Reposada once. I've had the Smoked Silver, which is terrific with margaritas. Gives you a little bit of extra smoke in the margarita. It's not overwhelming by any stretch. but it's pretty cool. Like, it's a great additional flavor component that you get. And people who love to drink margaritas and cocktails, you know, you like having some different flavor components and flavor profiles. People who love to sip tequila, they are very specific about the front end and the back end and how it finishes, and you're going to have a very, very slight hint of sweetness at the back end of most of the sipping tequilas that Maestro Dobel makes. And it's never going to be harsh. You're going to really enjoy it from start to finish. Wherever fine liquors are sold, you're going to find it. It's huge in Mexico. It's getting bigger and bigger in the States. Every single month that passes, it's Maestro Dobel.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Mark Berman is retiring June 12th. That dude ain't letting up. He is going to go from 100 miles an hour to stop. And I don't know how he's going to do it, to tell you the truth. But he continues to amaze. He caught up with Kelvin Sampson, all right? Kelvin Sampson had you got a Mark Berman now.
I didn't even know it. I watched a video. I'm like, Kelvin, do you plan on signing your extension for University of Houston and staying here long-term as a basketball coach? I don't know, Mark. It's
kind of a little bit like Jason from Waco.
Yeah, okay, I got it. Yeah. But, I mean, would you like to be here? Would you like to sign a long-term extension? Are you going to stay with University of Houston long-term? I mean, Mark, it's up to University of Houston. How long would you like to stay here? Do you see yourself coaching into your 80s when you're in your 80s? And what about your son, Kellen Sampson? Is he going to be the coach in waiting? I'm just playing catch. I don't know where he is. He's out at a baseball. When we play the video here.
Might be his he's grandkids. Out.
No. I don't know if it's some kind of U of H thing or not. You can hear
U of H is playing for the conference this weekend. Maybe he was out of practice or something.
Yeah, something like that. And he looks like he throws pretty well.
He does?
I always kind of judge people by how they can throw a baseball.
You can't throw.
Now, football's a little – you don't have to have a perfect spiral.
Like the mayor of Cincinnati?
Yeah. I've done shows 50? With – like, I have no doubt that you can throw a baseball and a football, obviously.
Yeah.
And I can. I'm not saying you have to be able to throw a ball to be a good sports talk host, but I've done shows with people who
I saw your video of you shooting baskets.
Well, that's even a different thing. But people who can't throw, it's like you should be able to throw a ball if you're going to do a sports talk show.
Yeah.
Like you should be able to – I don't know. For me, that's probably ugly, but – you know, you should be.
No, you should have some athleticism.
You would think you could throw a ball.
Yeah.
Not like where you're going to, and you throw it into the ground or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You
can't do that. Here is Kelvin Sampson with Mark Berman.
At this level, if you're involved with another job, somebody's done a hell of a recruiting job. To even get you to talk to them. So, but you know, NBA is a, I got a lot of friends in NBA, man. You know, there's just about every team. But you know, most of my interaction with the NBA, fortunately, never gets out. You know, unfortunately, this time it did. But, you know, in the past, if I did something, it was... You know, the only way I agree to talk is if it doesn't get out. But sometimes it's just information gathering. You know, you just listen and hear what they have to say. But, you know, it's like I told our guys yesterday, last 2 days, it's a feather in all our caps. You know, nobody should be upset about this. Our administration should be, this is awesome that we have a coach that, you know, the highest level of basketball is interested in talking to. That should be their attitude.
That's true. I mean, it's not great for them, and it's actually, holy crap, he's talking to the Milwaukee Bucks when we want him to be here. Now we have to pay him more. It's listen, I'm not accusing Kelvin Sampson of, you know, using the Milwaukee Bucks in order to get more money from the University of Houston.
But it's
a good move. If
on
it was.
The outside looking, it usually doesn't get out, but it got out this time. Yep. Like on the outside looking in, I could see where you could definitely draw that conclusion.
And you know what?
Because immediately,
if I'm his agent, I'm the one that leaked it.
Oh, yeah. You want to know where it came from, Calvin? Yeah, probably, come from there.
Probably from your agent. Okay. But I got no problem with that. You use the system as well as you possibly can. Now, is it going now? He'd probably have to go to his players and say, there ain't nothing to it, boys. Don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere. And you know what? I'm not looking at the NBA. I want to stay here.
I'll
love
get
it
my
here.
Own
blah,
NIL
blah, blah,
deal.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, that's something that he'd have to do. But we want Kelvin. I ain't about that. You better get, if you got to come up with more money, University of Houston, for Kelvin Sampson, then come up with more money, okay? The dude isn't even the top 15 paid coach in the
NCAA. Well, unfortunately, like, you're going to have.
He needs to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. But you're going to have people donate more, too.
Yeah. Well, they just announced $140 million facility for the football team today.
They need the football team to sell more tickets.
Yeah.
Because there's a sharing of revenue.
They will this year.
There's a sharing of revenue, and basketball's been doing their job as far as getting people in the seats and selling tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not what's gonna make them is the TV deal for basketball.
Yeah, that's obviously the most money.
That's the most. Well, here's the deal, though. Like we said, it ain't gonna be long before it's gonna be the top 50 or so universities in the country. This is going to happen. That we're going to have a super conference.
Yes.
It is going to happen.
A super group.
The super group is
multiple
going to.
Multiple super conferences.
And the University of Houston needs to play well in all sports to.
And hopefully get we have relegation and promotion.
That's right. That would be.
I'm in on that idea. Yep. 100%.
Yep.
Where all of a sudden, if you go up to promotion, but you're right. The reason it won't happen is because of the TV deals.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's based regionally. It's based on. But man, would that be great if you just said, look, this giant chunk of money. FBS will get some. FBS2 will get some. FCS will get a little taste. You know, we'll give you a little bit. But every group, because then if you fall down in relegation, you don't get the same amount of money for your TV deal.
Hell no. No.
So then you could say, listen, what the hell's going on? We use this money to help our science department. This isn't fair.
Yeah. So when we come back, we got a break because Lance is going to talk golf with Jerry Foltz next on ESPN 97.5 and 90.
Stuff to do next segment.
This is your interview. You always take these off, okay?
No,
these golf.
I said listen and learn.
Time to talk about T-Box Texas. Perfect transition to you want to play golf. Listen, it was hot out there yesterday. It is going to get hot. This summer, and there's a lot of you out there that just can't play in this heat, okay? And for whatever reason, if you're a little bit not in the best of shape, if you just hate being out there, can't stand the sun, whatever the case may be, you know where you can go this summer to play? T-Box Texas. If it rains, if it shines, if it's night, if it's day, it doesn't matter. It usually matters. All of that stuff matters on the golf course. It doesn't matter at T-Box Texas because it's inside, because it's a bar, because it has all of the TVs that you could want, because it's a place that you go and get your golf on and with over 100 different courses that you can choose from, 8 simulators. You rent your bay, and you have a big time. All right, it's like Topgolf, only better because you're actually playing. It's actually much better than Topgolf because you're actually playing. They keep it nice. They keep it wonderful. You want to have a party there. You want to have meetings there. Whatever it is that you want to do. T-Box Texas, this summer, when it is blazing out there, you want to play or anytime at night, T-Box, TeeBoxTexas.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Witt, and GMC.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.